Review of Experiences at South Lancaster, Massachusetts. En route from New York City to Pennsylvania. October 30th, 1890. We left South Lancaster yesterday at about 2 o'clock. Was obliged to remain in Worcester 3 hours. Left at 5 o'clock and arrived at New York City 10 o'clock. Willie had preceded us to the city 2 days. We were obliged to go to Brooklyn to the mission. We changed 5 times, I think, and every change required descending stairs or going upstairs. How thankful I was that the Lord had strengthened my limbs, especially my ankle bones, that I could walk as fast and climb stairs equal to any of our party, Willie Robinson, Sarah McEnterfer, and myself. We did not get to rest until midnight. I praise the Lord this morning that I can report to those who ask, "How did you sleep?" Well, notwithstanding the elevated rail cars that were rattling over the rails almost by our windows. We were delayed 1 day longer than we designed. I had ague in my ear and my head was involved. I suffered much pain, dared not be on the road. I consulted a dentist. He said the teeth were not the cause of this affliction. Then I took alcohol sweat and worked my best to subdue the pain, and the relief came. I am made aware that all this trouble was the result of a severe cold. I spoke in the academy to the students, and I will say I never saw a better class of students together than was before me. The Lord gave me much freedom in bearing my testimony to those students. This made 13 times I had spoken. I do not think I shall labor as hard in the forthcoming meeting. The last Friday and Sabbath and Sunday were seasons of intense interest. The Lord moved upon me in a special manner by His Holy Spirit to present the truth and the rich promises of God in clear lines before the congregation. Friday, I asked all to come forward who desired the prayers of the servants of God. Many students responded, and there were about 7 seats in the body of the house, full of all classes, young and old. All present knew that the Holy Spirit was in our midst. My spirit was stirred within me as I saw the number who responded and listened to testimonies from their lips. Then the praying season. What a blessed manifestation of the Spirit and power of God! The prayers were most fervent. I never knew Brother Robinson to reach so decidedly into the inner sanctuary as on this occasion. The Lord gave me the spirit of intercession. I could not cease the urgent request to God for the converting power of His grace, both upon ministers and upon people. We could say with Jacob, "God is in this place. This is as the gate of heaven." Genesis 28, verse 17. The sunbeams from the Sun of Righteousness were flooding all the chambers of my mind and the soul temple. I felt for a time shut in with God. I could see and sense only the sweet divine presence of Him whom my soul loveth. This season will never, never be forgotten by those present. We commenced the meeting at 2:30 and remained to welcome the sacred hours of the Sabbath. I have been urging my prayer for the Lord to strengthen me, to give my poor heart rest from pain. I leave my petition at the throne of grace and say, "Not my will, but thine, O Lord, be done." Luke 22, verse 42. If it be His pleasure to give me grace to work for Him in pain and suffering almost constantly, and this is best for me, I say, Amen. I will continue to work until I lay off the armor at the feet of my Redeemer. Jesus, precious Savior, is my trust, my song all the day, my refuge in all my troubles. Sabbath, by special request, Willie spoke in the forenoon. I was not present. I spoke in the afternoon. Again, the burden rolled upon me for the people. I felt constrained by the love of Jesus to urge that all who claim to follow Jesus will be active, earnest workers for the saving of the souls of those out of Christ. That they should unite with the delegated ministers to be laborers together with God. I knew no tame, commonplace efforts would answer for this time. They must eat of the flesh and drink of the blood of the Son of God if they themselves would have eternal life. My words, said Jesus, are spirit and life. The flesh profiteth nothing. John 6, verse 63. As the branch draws its sustenance from the living vine, so all who are in Christ must live of Christ, be a partaker of his spirit, become infused with the life of Christ, and then they can work the works of Christ, be one with Christ, and set forth Jesus crucified and risen again and at the right hand of God to make intercession for us. Again, I presented before them the richness of the promises of God. I asked if there were any present who did not enter the service of Christ. And why? That question you will have to answer at the bar of God. Ask it of your own souls now. Why you should not love and obey him who has died to ransom you from ruin. I again invited them to come just as they were, without waiting to make themselves good enough for Jesus to save them. We had a large number forward again, and most of them were students. Again, we presented these souls, who were now seeking their Lord in the arms of our faith, and again were in the solemn prayers characterized by intense, earnest pleading and arguments before God that in accordance with his precious promises, he would be found of those who were seeking him in sincerity and in truth, and would pardon their transgressions according to his pledged word, that he would reveal himself to them as a sin-pardoning Savior. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55, verse 7. Again, the Lord's presence was with us in a marked manner, and that to bless. Praise and thanksgiving rolled back from many hearts and lips to the God of heaven for his mercy, his loving kindness, and matchless grace imparted to those who were confessing their sins in contrition of soul. I was abundantly blessed. I could say, the sunbeams of the Sun of Righteousness were shining upon me, and I was all light in the Lord. Oh, it is these revealings of his mercy that lead me to make melody in my heart unto the Lord and give me courage. I thought I had never seen a time in my experience when the Lord came so intelligently near. The work was apparently universal, and the influence extended to regions around about. That work of manifest grace of God has been abiding and been doing its leavening work up to this time, and the Spirit's power was again at work upon hearts, and the converting power of God was in our meetings. Our ministering brethren, young Brother Farnsworth, felt the divine touch. Brother Robinson, Elder Goodrich, Brother Farman, Brother Whittier, Brother Miles, and many others were deeply moved by the Spirit of God. I was glad to see in the assembly many new in the faith. Men and women of influence had, since the meeting 2 years ago, responded to the truth as presented before them by the laborers together with God. These men will, some of them, engage in the work in some of its branches. We are entreated to remain in New England, but we dare not yet encourage them. They are urging us to spend the winter east. I want God's will, not mine. Let the Lord lead me and teach Willie and me what he would have us to do. We want to work while it is day, for the night cometh in which no man can work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white all ready to harvest. John 4, verse 35. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Luke 10, verse 2. The harvest of the world is ready, Souls are being impressed and moved upon by the Spirit of God. Christ is drawing all men unto Him. There are men wanted, women also, who shall give themselves to God to cooperate with Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, verse 6. These living human agents are to be laborers together with God. They are to seize the opportunities as they appear presented before them, and gathering light from the source of all light, they are to reflect light to the world and lead men to the knowledge of the truth as it is in Jesus, leaving in clear and distinct lines a bright track heavenward. The harvest is ready, the laborers are few. If there is spiritual life in the members of the church, they will reveal it. You will walk if you have life. You will work, infused yourself with the Spirit of God. You will infuse others. Alive unto God are the unmistakable signs of Christ's abiding in the heart. Christ is the light and the life. Those who are drawing nourishment from the life of Christ will reveal the fresh, new life principles to others. If thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. Exodus 33, verse 15.